Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Friday, January 7th. You heard it right. Friday. Welcome to Menace in the Morning with my co-host, Chris Drew. Chris, how are you doing on this Friday?
Oh, I'm all smiles. I'm going to hit every place in my area and go get a medium fry. That's how we're feeling today.
Hey, I'm with it. I'm with it. Why a medium? Go large. Go big or go home.
And I want to have room for, I can't, I'm not trying to play offensive line. I'm just trying to celebrate.
It is a French Friday in Buckeye Nation. Justin Fry will be the offensive line coach at Ohio State is my prediction. And it's been my prediction for 2 years. So I just love, you know, if I gave a shit, I mean, I'd be furious and be on Twitter just going off on all these reporters who are now like, claiming to break the scoop that Justin Fry is going to be the O-line coach. Like, I'm just like sitting here like, come on, guys. Like, I don't need credit. I don't care. But don't act like you have the scoop.
Right.
I've been talking about this for 2 years. I've talked to Ryan about it. I've said it publicly for over a year that Justin Fry will be the offensive line coach at Ohio State. As soon as Stud is gone, right? I didn't, and you know, how that chapter ended was obviously yet to be written, but now it's written. The chapter is closed. Justin Fry will be the offensive line coach. If you haven't listened to the show, my main show yesterday, I mean, I did a good 10 minutes on Justin Fry as a football coach, recruiter, just kind of trying to give you insight into who is coming to town. So now you look at the staff, right? Biggest issues that I saw on the coaching staff was obviously the defensive staff. And then number one, and then I thought Stud did it. You got to give credit, right? And I don't need to regurgitate what I talked about yesterday, but Stud did a great job transforming that room from just a bag of shit that Ed Warner left into a respectable, talented room. I mean, you look at DeJuan Jones, Paris Johnson, and I don't want to go back through it, but he did an outstanding job flipping the room. But at the end of the day, I think he lacked the development and coaching and energy and recruiting. I mean, a lot of big-time guys didn't come to Ohio State as talented as the room is now. It should be more talented. I mean, it's Ohio State. There's a high standard, right? Mm-hmm. What Brian Hartline is doing, what Tony Alford is doing, what Larry Johnson is doing in recruiting is the standard, right? I mean, unlimited budget. Ryan Day could hire anyone in the world pretty much. And so if you're not the best recruiter at your position in the country, the question is, what the fuck are you doing? Like, exactly. Do you want to be here? If you want to be here at Ohio State, you better at least meet the standard or set a new standard, right? And that's what coaching is all about. I feel like I did that in my time at Ohio State. I set a new standard. And then guys exceeded my, you know, where I was at. But I was ahead of the pack on a lot of things that we did in recruiting. And I'm proud to say that I am responsible for developing a lot of things that we ended up doing in recruiting that made everyone more successful. And then you look at what guys like Brian Hartline has done. He's exceeded anything I ever did. Which that's the goal, right? It's constant growth, constant improvement, and every coach needs to do better than the last, right? And so that is the standard. And I promise you, Justin Fry will do that. So it's going to be a hire everyone is happy with. Certainly, like I said, in a year, I don't even think it's going to take two. Ohio State will sign the best O-line class they've ever signed. I can call that shot right now. So that's the offensive side of the ball. I mean, I feel great about that offensive staff. Brian Hartline, A+. Tony Alford, A+. Kevin Wilson, A+. Corey Dennis and Ryan Day combined, A+. And now you get Justin Fry, who is the best offensive line coach I've ever worked with. And that offensive staff is fucking loaded, locked and loaded. Defensive side of the ball, a lot of question marks, right? Matt Barnes out, Jim Knowles in. What I heard last from a couple sources is Kerry Combs will probably retire. Him and his wife, this is probably 5 years ago, built badass Lake House in Tennessee, where all of his kids and all of his grandkids could come in the summer when they went on vacation. And I would imagine they end up moving down there. And Kerry, you know, I can't imagine he stays out of it. Maybe he'll jump in and help out at a high school down there. But I think Kerry's going to retire. And so now there's that leaves another spot open, right? So you'll have Al Washington at linebackers, who I think he's going to be given one more shot to kind of get his position group right. Obviously, Larry Johnson will be the D-line coach until he hangs up the whistle. And then it's going to be awesome to see Jim Knowles come in and see. It's really – so, Chris, in my opinion, if and when Kerry retires, right, this hire is not a Ryan Day hire. Ryan made his hire when he hired Jim Knowles. Now it'll be a Jim Knowles hire to see who he's going to bring in to run the secondary with him, right? He will run it with a coach of his choosing with an unlimited budget. So it's going to be exciting to see kind of how this staff shapes up and kind of start to look to 2022 as we wrap up the national championship game on Monday. Speaking of, we are over halfway full. So profits or payouts are already covered. If you want to jump in, $100 a square, right? If the score at the end of any quarter, the last digit of the winning score, last digit of the losing score matches up with your square, you win. First quarter, you win $500. Halftime, you win $1,000. Third quarter, you win $500. And then final score for your $100 square, you'll win $3,000. So go ahead and shoot that Venmo over at Cameron Media and get on the board. Help us raise money for charity. Like I said, trying to kick off 2022 in a big way. And if you have any questions about it or you need more info, you need the link, just hit me up, Zach, Z-A-C-H, at Menace2Sports, the number two, and help us raise some money and help us play and have a good time. So, Chris, what are you hearing, man? What's out there?
Oh, man, brother, things were really interesting yesterday. I was kind of going in a deep dive in Justin Fry on my own right, and one of the things that I stumbled upon that I kind of went back through and had a blast watching over was during that 2013 year when Ryan Day was the OC at Boston College and Justin Fry was the O-line coach, Andre Williams finished fourth in the Heisman, ran for over 2,100 yards, on over 6 yards per carry and 18 touchdowns, and he is not near the talent that Trayvon Henderson is. So it's crazy because, you know, this team, obviously, I think they won't have the most productive running back in the country and the most productive quarterback in the country, but this offensive staff now has no weaknesses. There's no holes. There's none of that. And the offensive line next year should be in good shape, and then he'll be able to recruit, obviously, and kind of strengthen that up. I'm excited, man. This is something that you've called for a long time, and you've also said that, you know, you expect him to be he is the best, offensive line coach in the country, and he's going to bring some run game expertise with him as well. He is, part of that Chip Kelly tree additionally, and Chip Kelly's, run game, to me, at least to my unprofessional eye, was really well done. So I'm excited. I think it's a really good thing for the offense. And I think that this makes, Jim Knowles' job even easier because really it's about, you only have to get a couple stops a game because this offense is going to be so high flying. Don't want to rehash all that, but I do want to talk about something just real briefly because Marcus Williamson ducked you, Zach, and then he blocked you. Where are we at today with that? Yeah. Wow.
I mean, it's whatever. I mean, it's no sweat off my back. I don't give a shit. I mean, like I said, Marcus and I always had a good relationship. We always kind of had, he could tell I was a real one as far as the coaching staff goes. And it's just kind of, not too surprising, right? Go woke, go broke is what it is. And when you're trying to drive a narrative, you're trying to get some notoriety. You're trying to push this story. You don't want anyone that's going to push back. And I wasn't even pushing back on his story. I just was going to kind of ask him some hard questions. And I had so many former players and people within the program that were messaging me like, he wasn't going to come on your show because you would talk real shit and you were there. You know what was going on. And it's true. It's like you're trying to push this narrative, but it's like, wait a minute now. I was there for two of the years. So I don't know what happened after that. I certainly was not there last year or this year, but that's smoke that he didn't want, right? That he did not want to have a real conversation with somebody that was going to push back a little bit, going to challenge his stories, but also it's just a shame because if he really wants to drive the narrative and see change and get his story out there, then he would come on this show. It's a lot like people that go on Joe Rogan's podcast, right? They know they're going to get challenged by him. You looked at, I can't remember who the guy was. It was someone in the CDC or someone that came on his show about the horse medicine that Joe Rogan took. And Joe was sitting there like, but yeah, like 50 years ago it was used for horses, but now it gets prescribed by doctors for actual humans, not for COVID, but for other things. So to say it's a horse horse medicine. It's just it's completely bullshit. And the guy was like,
right.
Yeah, and the guy and the guy was like, yeah, you know, you're right. It is. And he agreed. And then he had to go on CNN like the next day and kind of backtrack and rephrase his statements because it didn't fit the narrative they're all trying to drive. And it's like, wait a minute. When you go on a real one show and you have a real conversation, they're not just going to let you say some bullshit and be like, they'll be like, wait, whoa, timeout. What? Like, tell me about this. What? And they get to the bottom of it. You don't want that if you're trying to drive a narrative. And so blocking me was the most hilarious thing, right? Because I tagged him in a post. But the reality is that is what happened. I mean, I'm not going to do it, but I don't think I did it. Maybe I did it, but I have DMs. We had the tweet where he's the one that reached out and said, we're going to run it on the show. I mean, and it's like, then block me. Why? Because I said you should come on the show again. Like, you're the one that reached out to me, but you know, water under the bridge, whatever. The story will go away. I did see he's promoting some Twitter thing, official visits or something. And clearly that company is paying athletes, you know, some notable athletes to review colleges and coaches to try to get notoriety. And that's what they did. They jumped all over this thing. He's popping off. They knew it was a hot topic. So they paid him to do a bunch of reviews, and he was very, very strong on Ohio State, very strong on Kerry Combs, and just absolutely destroyed Matt Barnes. So the kid's trying to get his story out there, trying to get a little money and trying to be in the news, I guess. He didn't. He wasn't in the news as a player, so you got to find a way, right? Find a way to get in the headlines.
He found a way. He hopped on that site and had good reviews for everyone, like you said. And his initial tweet that started this whole thing was, you know, basically about players being stupid as well, or the coaches being stupid, just like the fans. And we wanted to know who he was talking about, and now it's no secret. It is Matt Barnes, and Matt Barnes is no longer coaching at Ohio State. Obviously, he went to go take that Memphis DC job. I liked Matt Barnes, and kind of removing what Marcus Williamson said, maybe he did get one too many free passes because Zach, the safety play, was really, really bad this last year. And that's his position group. And I feel like he did get a pass because he was the young, passionate coach, and he speaks well. I'm curious. I'm kind of frustrated with the guys that transfer out, including Craig Young, who was in his room. But we'll see moving forward, and I'm curious to see how he does it. Memphis,
it's hard, right? And I've been there, and I never had kids transfer. I had one kid transfer, Trayvon Grimes, but that was a totally different situation.
Yeah.
But outside of him, I never really had a kid transfer that we wanted to keep, right? And you look at it, and it's like it's a hard sell. I mean, I had to try to do it to Curtis Samuel and Noah Brown that you know we were changing. Like, we fired Ed Warner, fired Tim Beck, and we were going to change, and it would be advantageous for them to come back. But they just you've already broken that trust. They don't trust that things are going to be better because they don't. There's a lot of unknown, right? Jim Knowles comes in. What if he's not very good? Like Ryan made a hire. He hired Kerry Combs and hired Matt Barnes, and they weren't very good. So these players now don't trust that the next hire is going to be a great hire. So a lot of times they'll jump ship and leave because it's just so funny because the grass is always greener, right? Like they're gonna transfer to some other school and they have no idea if that defense coordinator or position coach is worth a shit, just like they don't know if Jim Knowles is worth a shit. Now, I would challenge that his resume says he is, but everyone's resume says they are, right? Kerry Combs' resume was great. I mean, it was awesome. He was an NFL position coach. You know, coached at Ohio State when the defense was cooking. I mean, that resume looked great, but then come to find out, he just wasn't a great D coordinator, right? So how do you project Jim Knowles as a defensive coordinator at this level, right? He was good at Oklahoma State, right? Really good. Excellent. I mean, he won the Broyles Award, right? But will he be that good at this level? Because this is a different level now. Ohio State defense is a different level. Well, now... Yeah. I mean, you can project it all, right? With better players, the defense should be even better than Oklahoma State, blah, blah, blah. I get it, right? But you go play Georgia. You go play Alabama. You go play some of these top, top tier teams. It's different. What would Oklahoma State look like against Alabama? That's the question, right? Because that's what he's going to have to face at this level in the playoffs. So it'll be interesting to see. But it's a tough sell for guys like Craig Young, who I think had an unbelievable shot to be a great player, just freaky talent. But it's hard. It's hard to convince them to stay because they just don't know for sure, right? It's not a guarantee.
Right. It's hard to get him to stay. And then, like, with the transfer portal, with the way things move, you got to get in early and go get a scholarship as quickly as you can. I do think that if Jim Knowles was around, maybe he would have maybe he would have stayed, you know, if Jim Mills had a place for him. Maybe they would have tried to move him down a linebacker, which I think is kind of where he should have been more than in the safety room. But, you know, who am I? As a result, I mean, Diamante Tranum's coming in, so that'll be a linebacker extra. I mean, like I said, we're trying everybody in the world at linebacker. Just curious, you know, I'm just, you know, it's leading me to think a lot. And the next hire will be, I mean, if Kerry Coombs and Deeds retire, it will be a Jim Knowles hire because, you know, like you said before, weeks and weeks and weeks ago, defensive coordinator, a lot of times that guy's not going to come alone. And a proven defensive coordinator, I mean, he's going to want some of his guys in the room, some of his guys to know the philosophy, to understand things, and that he doesn't have to teach the entire staff, but he gets at least a couple of his guys. And quite frankly, with how bad the Ohio State defense was, that whole staff should have been in danger. So it's no surprise that more than one of them are getting removed. I know that a couple names being floated around. The safeties coach at DB's coach at Georgia, and as well as the Matt Guerriere kid from Duke.
Get a free pass like that. Say his name.
Matt, or wait, which one? The first one?
Who are you talking about, Chris? I don't know who that is.
Oh, the Duke co-DC, Matt Gary. You know, I can't say it.
Guerriere.
There you go. Thank you. I appreciate you. You know,
all right, so that's one candidate is on the rumor mill. Who's the other one?
Jamel Ade. That's the dude from Georgia.
Well, there's an E at the end. I would say Jameel.
Jameel Ade. Okay. A day, but. Jameel Ade. Ooh, I'm just botching names here. Twitter's for this one.
like you said, it's a Jim Knowles hire, right? It's got to be a Jim Knowles hire. I think those are two obvious names to be on the list. But, you know, we got to get a position open first. It's a lot like when they hired Jim Knowles. It's like, wait a minute, but whose jobs is he taking? it'll be interesting to see. I am kind of bummed, Chris. I'm in my feels right now, just sitting here. I just saw a picture of my guy Fry with they photoshopped him up in Buckeye stuff, and it's just I don't miss coaching. I don't wish I was still coaching, but Justin and I talked about this going back to 2012. Like, eventually he was going to come to Ohio State, whether Urban was going to hire him eventually or and I tried to get him hired when Ed Warner got fired. It was the first thing I said to Urban. I was like, "You, coach, you need to think about bringing Justin Fry." And he like threw me out of his office. He was like, "Absolutely not." I was like, "Okay, well, fuck me. What do I know?" But I tried to get him to hire him because that was my guy. And we were on staff together at Temple. We were on staff together at Florida. We were GAs at Florida together. And I just it would have been so awesome to go compete for the big boy, the big trophy with Justin. And I've told the story, right? We got fired. Justin and I both got fired at Florida. Because we were calling the plays as GAs, and Urban was so fucking furious at the offensive staff because he was paying them all this money and they weren't doing shit, and Justin and I were doing it all, and that he fired us. He was like, and told us we weren't allowed to talk, don't speak unless spoken to, like just some disrespectful Urban Meyer shit. And I was livid. So it's a bummer, man. I would have been fun, but it's the offensive staff is going to be locked and loaded, and everyone will enjoy working with Fry, recruiting with Fry. He's going to be a great hire.
Yeah, and shout out Bond Edits for photoshopping that and having that ready off and about. But man, it's gonna be cool, Zach. I mean, obviously we're gonna have to wait and see, but it's gonna be cool, and I'm excited. You know, get back out of your fields though, because we have some NFL talk to get into before we close up this Friday. So now we have this good old saga: Antonio Brown versus Bruce Arians. You know, AB versus BA. Antonio says he was hurt and couldn't play. Bruce said he was complaining about touches. Who do you believe, man?
Well, it's tough to believe Antonio Brown on anything. Just period. I mean, the guy doesn't have a great track record, right? It's all about credibility. Does he have credibility? And not really, in my opinion. But that being said, it's like anything else, right? I believe the truth lies somewhere in the middle. I certainly believe he was injured. I'm sure he's absolutely exaggerating the extent, maybe not the extent of the injury, but the extent of how he reported it and did it. Because they even said like the medical staff was unaware that he was injured to the point where he couldn't play. I mean, he had done some treatment stuff, but I'm going to be honest, as a football coach who was around it for 15 years, players do treatment every day. Mm-hmm. And even if they're not hurt, it's called prehab, not rehab, right? Prehab. It's getting your body in a great place physically to try to prevent injury. So just because he was getting treatment doesn't mean he was injured. My guys got, I made my guys get treatment every day. I mean, they could be healthy as a fucking ox. Yeah. Like nothing wrong with them. They're still in the training room, getting ice down, getting compressions on their legs, getting things done to keep them healthy. Right. So just because he sits there and says, well, I've got treatment this week. It's like, what the fuck does that matter? That doesn't mean you were hurt. That just means that for either you did it or someone had you take care of your body and get some treatment done. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe Antonio Brown. I certainly don't believe Bruce Arians. I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle, but some of the stuff is like, you know, they wanted him to get a second opinion and he didn't want them to because he went to some doctor that the fucking Buccaneers don't even know. It's like, no, you got to go to someone they know and trust. And
this sound, does this sound like Percy Harvin-y a little bit? This is what this is reminding me.
I mean, it honestly does. And people don't remember that story. Percy basically decided he needed surgery because he some guy told him he did. And the Ohio State doctors did MRIs, did x-rays. Doctor, yeah. And they were like, we don't think he needs surgery. And he decided he did. So they did surgery. And it is what it is. I mean, it's complete dramatic prima donna bullshit. I think both sides are in the wrong. And like I said, the truth lies somewhere in the middle.
Now we talked about AB. No show with me is a show complete without us talking about the great quarterback that is Baker Mayfield. I wanted to ask you about this because not very often do we see quarterbacks on Twitter or like players on Twitter going in against media. Cabot yesterday, Mary Cabot said wrote an article about kind of the issues within the quarterback room with Stefanski and Baker. And he just said clickbait, you know, local media always driving a narrative, blah, 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 just airing her out on Twitter. Here we go. I mean, I'm not used to seeing it, Zach. Have you seen this before? And what side of this do you lie on?
Oh, I stand with Baker. Because it wasn't just Baker, right? DeShone Kizer came out and said this lady's fucking awful.
Yeah,
Brandon Whedon came out and said this lady's awful, and not in those words, but it's just clickbait reporting. And that lady is awful. She used to be in Columbus, I think, at ABC6. She was terrible here. She's terrible there. She's just awful at her job. It's all clickbait bullshit. What does she know about sports? That's what I always want to know. And don't get it twisted. This is not some sexist rant. Like Mina Kimes is unreal at her job. Like there's several females in sports media. Taylor Rooks, unbelievable at her job.
Cameron Justice.
There's countless females in sports media that I think are excellent. They're awesome. They're so good. They're better than I could be. Right. But she's terrible. She's terrible and always has been. But she keeps getting jobs and she puts out clickbait bullshit like Stefanski and Baker Mayfield need to mend their relationship. What does she know about their relationship? We got a visitor in studio, apparently. Hi, Luke.
Homie.
What's up, bro? She's just awful. And she needs what? Oh, yeah. Yeah, buddy.
You know she's awful, Luke.
Right. He heard you talk about her. He was like, wait a minute. I got to say something about this lady. So I always stand with athletes, especially on clickbait articles.
You got the little man. See, we're all about the family love here.
No, I'm going to have to bring him in here. He's going to start screaming in a minute. But I also, Chris, I wanted to call you out and shout out. Our Friday mailbag kind of went away, and it's my fault for not mentioning it. But if you could go on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave us a review and ask us a question. Next week, we will get back to that because we have some good reviews, but no questions right now. I was looking through it as you were talking. And one guy said, the only question I see here was, would love to hear about your relationship with Brian Hartline or if you guys even talk. I think I've talked about it several times. Our relationship is great. It's not like we talk all the time. We don't hang out, but we've always had a good relationship. I'm a fan of his. I think he's doing a great job. We've exchanged messages randomly about bullshit, like nothing really. Like it might be something that he disagrees with in the media and I call it out and he shoots me a message like, good shit, bro. I agree. Or something like that. You know, just nonsense, small talk. But I did want to shout out Cool Willis, who gave us a 1-star review. He said, episode 2. So sad that you get the biased, unsubstantiated rants of a bitter, sociopathic, alcoholic pervert who needs to throw himself into a 12-step recovery program, needs a good personal liability lawsuit to be taught a lesson about personal responsibility. Just I love it. I mean, I'm here for that. Like I said, leave us a review. It could be one star. You could call me an alcoholic pervert. I don't know anybody that doesn't like to have a drink and fuck. So, I mean, it's good for you, man. I'm proud of you. And unsubstantiated rants. I think everything I say is pretty damn substantiated. But I wanted to shout him out because I appreciate the love. He obviously listens and took time out of his day to go on there and write me a note. So thank you, Cool Willis. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, Cool Willis. Totally go to Zach. I have nothing else for today. We do have spaces coming up later today as well.
Oh yeah. Twitter spaces, 3 o'clock. We're jumping on it. You know what, Chris, you want to go at 2 instead?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll go at 2.
Let's go at 2 o'clock. We'll go for an hour. And then, like I mentioned before, if you guys want kind of the custom VIP RSS feed, the Twitter spaces, I will put that on our RSS feed on Patreon. So if you're interested, it's only $5 a month. Come get that VIP experience and go to patreon.com/menace2sports and let's run it back. I appreciate y'all. Menace out.
Menace out.